Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to next phase with Black Ice and Friends. Today is November the 18th, 2010. I want to wish you a happy early Thanksgiving. Hope that your Thanksgiving holidays will be safe and blessed. I'd also like to offer a disclaimer to you in regard to the next phase with Ice and Friends. We're heard Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard, and 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard. Our disclaimer is simply this. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. We recommend that you seek professional assistance regarding any topics you hear discussed on this show. And a brief description. The show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in our communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income, for instance. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments on occasion, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of our society, also reassessing significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics, too numerous to include, just join us, please, right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. You can give us a call at 347-945-7040, or you can give us an email at blackice, B-L-A-K-I-C-Z, .1@gmail.com. That's BLAKICZ.1@gmail.com. Also, I'd like to thank my brother. I wasn't here last week due to scheduling difficulties, and in all probability I won't be able to make it next week because that is the holiday season. I need to leave, but I hope that you'll have a chance maybe to listen to some of our archive shows. I'd like to thank my dear brother, Mr. T.L. Harris, for him dropping through on occasion, and really appreciate him. And also, he adds so tremendously much, and hopefully we'll be doing some collaborations. Hopefully I get a chance to visit with him and get him back on to do some other things, as well as some other interesting people that I hope will come through on occasion. I really would appreciate seeing some of these individuals. And I'd like to recommend some of the other shows that are on Blog Talk Radio, such as the India Declare Show, daily 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Saturday. Navazor, N-A-V-A-X-O-R, and let me spell India Declare for you, I-N-D-I-A-D-E-C-L-A-I-R, India Declare, and you can hear her daily at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Navazor, N-A-V-A-X-O-R-1, and all you have to do is come on Blog Talk Radio and put these names in the search block, and it'll pull up the information that's necessary to find out when their shows are aired. But these are some of the individuals that I've met throughout my introduction to Blog Talk Radio, and I really have appreciated knowing them. Navazor, that's Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She has a wonderful show. And Janice Graham, OCGR Common Ground, Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Shooting the Breeze with Miss Quiet Storm. She's broadcast Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon Eastern. Miss Quiet, M-S-Q-U-I-E-T-S-T-O-R-M, Miss Quiet Storm. And let me go back and spell Miss Janice Graham for you, J-A-N-I-C-E. G-R-A-H-A-M. I believe I'm correct on that, and hopefully if I'm not, they'll correct me. Also, Brother Alpho, he's on 2 p.m. Central Daylight Time, 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Two shows you'll get a chance, I think, to hear him. And he's Alpho, A-L-F-O. Just put him in the search block, and it'll pull it up for you. Brother Jay Early, he has a good show also. J-A-Y-E-A-R-L-E-Y. I'm not sure about his times, but you can check it out. And Miss Evelyn, E-L-E-V-Y-N, Evelyn B-O-W-D-E-N. She also has a wonderful show on Block Talk Radio. And I have a caller through on 859. Let me check out 859. Are you here, 859? Hello?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, who am I speaking with?
It's Sheikh Abdul Karim Muhammad Ahmed.
Okay, what can I do? What can we talk about?
Actually, I'm calling because I got a text from my daughter, Rabia Ahmed, in Pennsylvania.
Oh, sir, okay. Great. She hasn't called through yet, but she's coming.
So, okay.
And I really appreciate you calling. As a matter of fact, would you do me a favor and just hold a second?
Sure.
And the reason that I want you to do that is because I'm let me pull back up. Okay, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have people be aware that there are any number of shows. We are an alternative media source, and we aren't corporate media, so we provide a different perspective on different issues. And you, sir, what's your name again?
Sheikh Abdul Karim Muhammad Ahmed.
Abdul Karim Muhammad Ahmed. Yes, sir. All right. May I introduce your daughter? Because I don't want to say your name incorrectly, and I have to get used to saying it, if you understand what I'm saying.
Sure, I do. Okay.
She hasn't called through yet. I had talked with her earlier, but I'm sorry.
Yes, I understand. I understand what you're saying.
Yes. Anyway, Sister Rabia Ahmed. The organizer of SMART, a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, designed to assist especially women and their families who have had difficulties in their lives. The program actually aids the women and their families regaining their social and financial footing. Sister Rabia does considerably more than just talk. Thank you for sharing with us this evening. I think this may be her right here. Let me see who's on. Hang in there, sir.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay, who am I speaking with? 201?
Yeah.
Area code 201?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just standing by listening to the show.
Ah, okay. Well, I'll put you back on hold then, all right?
Okay, well,
thanks
listen,
for calling. Who am I speaking with?
Well, you're speaking to Mr. Big Willie in New Jersey.
Big Willie, how you doing? Good to hear you, and glad you called through. I appreciate you listening in there, and I'm hoping that my guests will be calling through pretty quick. But
absolutely, and I'm delighted to hear the show, and we'll be standing by listening to the topic.
I really appreciate you giving a call through, and thank you for listening. I'll just put you back on hold if that's okay.
Sounds good to me, sir.
Thank you. And I'll tell you what, if you decide to add a comment or something, call back through, and it'll light you up, and then I'll put you on if that's okay.
Absolutely. That sounds wonderful. If I have something to say, we certainly will dial back.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your help. I'll put you right back on hold here. Now, Brother Ahmed.
Yes.
I had the pleasure of conversing with your daughter. I've never met her, but I've conversed with her several times. And let me give her email of her. She has a site, and I'm really proud for her. I'm just really grateful for the things that she's doing, and I'll be looking for her to call through here. Let me see. I keep messing this up. Hold on just a second.
Okay,
there we
cool.
go. Yeah, I'm looking. I'm trying to keep my eye on the board so I'll know when she's calling through.
Okay.
But anyway, she her site. Is www.smartchange.org. smartthechange.org. And the organization, she organized the group or the business or organization called SMART. Single mothers are really trying. And I have to tell you that I'm just thoroughly impressed with Sister Rabia, and she has spoken so very highly of her dad, and you are such a tremendous influence in her life. And she had told me that you know, I'd ask her a few things, and she said, well, I've been in business before. I said, you have? And so she was explaining to me that you and your family had a family business some time ago. Am I right?
That's correct, yes.
And
BB International. I've got manufactured hair care products, incense, and body oils. Matter of fact, I was the first street vendor in Philadelphia in 1968.
Don't you go anywhere. You hold on, will you, please?
All right.
All right. 4484, is that you?
Yes.
That's my daughter, Rabia. Uh-huh.
I was just like, that's my father. Wow.
Now, see, you couldn't tell me so much stuff. Now I know too much.
Oh, no.
But,
okay.
Yeah, he was, do you mind if I visit with him for a minute? And
no, I don't mind at all.
I'll let you two have it, but, sir, I don't know exactly the title that I should call you, but I'll just call you Mr. Ahmed. Would that be okay?
Okay, that'll do. That's good.
Okay. Now, you were saying you were the first street vendor or something like that?
I'm selling incense and oils in Philadelphia, 1968.
Incense oils.
I was down at the 12th and Market. And I don't know if you're familiar with Philadelphia now, but it's notorious for vendors all over the city. But
no,
back then,
I'm not.
I was the first one in 1971. They put my picture in the paper. So those who didn't know me knew me then. Because people
right.
could see me on the street and say, hey, I seen your picture in the paper. And I said, yeah, I know it's in the paper. It's been a little, you know, just a little write-up on me that, you know, that I was a chemical compounder for years, and that's what I did.
Oh,
and I just
great.
Started, you know, opened my business up in 1968 and started manufacturing hair care products, perfume oils, and incense, and that's what I did.
You know,
as a matter of fact, I live in Cold Spring, Kentucky now.
Oh, you, oh really?
Up, and,
right.
And I'm still at it, believe it or not.
No, I do believe it, and you know, what one of the things that was most impressive about hearing what you had done was the impact that it had on Sister Rabia, your daughter, and she's very conscientious, and I mean, I'm just really extremely grateful that I've had an opportunity to communicate with her, and you know, I've had one business, I had a record business, and. I also sold some, but they were mass, you know, hair care products and so forth and different
okay.
things. And I did that in 80, from 83 to 86. And, you know, so I have some exposure. And one of the things that I'm most appreciative about it is it gave my children that feeling of being on both sides of the counter. You know,
mm-hmm.
some people, you know what I'm saying? Some people only
yeah.
have that one experience from the side of the counter where they're given the money, and
mm-hmm.
they have a concept built up that sometimes I think it constrains their ability to dream, you know, to have any idea that there is another aspect to this social structure. That's
oh, yeah.
just me in my opinion. And by you having done what you did, and I listened to Sister Rabia, it gave her that vision and knowledge and capacity to understand that she has the ability to be on the other side of the counter just as comfortable providing a service as she would be seeking a service. And I think that's wonderful to provide to an offspring or in any individual that you are associated with.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I agree.
And as I – oh, wow, that board's lit up pretty good here. Let me – if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and add another couple calls. I hope this thing doesn't cut off, but if it cuts off, would y'all please call back?
Certainly will.
Yeah, and Sister Rabia, right after this call, I'm going to invite you, please, to go ahead and maybe we'll have I want to include both you guys in the conversation, especially if you find out more about your business. But right now I have a call from 267. 267, are you here? Hello, 267. Area code 267. Maybe they're just away listening, but I'll put them back on hold. Anyway, Sister Rabia, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. have I know that you and I'm really thrilled to meet your dad, and I'm glad that you had told me a little bit about him, because he's very impressive. I really appreciate having a chance to meet him.
Oh yeah, he's fantastic. He was. I didn't hear the whole conversation. I was having a little bit of trouble getting on, but
wow.
I know that when it came down to the, I don't know, I heard him talking about the business that he ran, and you know, we as children, you know, helped him and worked for him, and that was one of my big inspirations was community service.
Right.
So just talking to people, meeting people.
You have that beautiful outgoing personality. I think there are some calls calling through, and let me put another person online with you, and maybe they have some questions that might be relevant. Let me try area code 215. 215, can you hear me? Hello, area code 215, are you there?
Jersey.
I'm sorry? Okay, I'll put you back on hold. Let me try 267 one more time. 267, are you here now? Okay, maybe those individuals are just listening online, but we'll just leave them there. So, but yeah, you know, you community service, you know, so, Brother Ahmed, you provided the product and also community service and also an example for others who might have a desire to be self-employed, I'm assuming?
Yes, that's true. As a matter of fact, there's a group of brothers in Philadelphia now, and I remember this distinctly because they came to my house. I lived in Germantown, in Philadelphia, and they came to my house in 1969, and they were just good friends of mine, one brother named Rashid, and his brother's name Sharif, and they came in, and they was interested in incense. I said, come on in the back. I said, I'll show you how I do it. And what's so ironic is every time I go to Philadelphia, and I'm planning on going there next week, every time I go there, I visit them because they're still in business doing it.
Wow.
Every time I see them, they mention it. I mean, out of all those years, I mean, this is in 1969, they're still in business on 52nd Street, right between Walden and Locust, and they're still doing it.
You know that.
I'm just glad that they're doing it. You know, just an inspiration to me that somebody kept it going. You know, and they did. And it's quite true. I met another gentleman's name was Daoud, and his son was a trumpet player. But I remember one day he came to me, and he was so methodical because he was a very neat person. He would come in every morning just like clockwork, and he knew what he wanted when he came in. He was one person that came in and started guessing. He walked in. I want this, I want a pack of this, or this, or this, or this. That's how he did. And one day he came to me, about 5 or 6 years later. He said, I don't care if I tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, you know, I paid for my house with your incense. He said, that's how I did it.
Mm.
That was the only job he had. And he was going down 11th and Market. And those in Philadelphia know, you know, what I'm talking about, because they see him on the corner there. And he had built like an apron. He made himself like a kitchen apron with pockets.
Mm.
Instead of having a table, he had the incense on him in these pockets. So a person came and say, well, give me a pack of this, a pack of that. He had it like in a little pocket that he did himself out of an apron with his pockets in it. And it was just so unique how he was very enterprising, you know. But when he told me the thing that he paid for his house with my product, he said, the way I did it, I paid for my house by selling your incense. He said, that's how I did it, man. That's why I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad I could, you know, help somebody, because that's what it's about, helping others. You know, that's all I try to do through the years, you know, just help other people, you know, and I figured that doing that, I would get it back myself, and I believe I have done that, you know. We actually make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give.
Right.
Abu.
You know, I try to do that.
Abu?
Yeah.
I wanted to say something real quick, that the part about, you know, you helping others, I mean, as far as the business part, that was really good. You know, you gave us a good upbringing you know, we didn't want for anything. We helped out with the business. It was a lot of perks in helping out with the business, and it was nice. But on the part where you talk about helping people, I saw the other side, not the business side, but the compassion side, how you and Umi, my mother, may she rest in peace, used to help out so many families. And I think that's where I picked it up from. I was telling somebody the other day how there was a Cambodian family who came out, you know, just from the border, and you had brought them to the house because you didn't want to leave them in the apartment by themselves. And somebody called you and said, we got a Cambodian family that needs somewhere to stay.
Yep.
And y'all never hesitated about having people come into our home because our home was so big, but y'all never hesitated about having people come into the home, providing shelter for them, providing jobs. You gave so many people jobs. You gave so many families shelter. I know a sister that came to the house who twice or three times that her husband beat her up. Y'all took the families in. And that was one of the things that attracted me and encouraged me to want to help people. And that was my road for starting SMART. You know, that helping those single mothers with children when they had nowhere else to go, you know, where they were left on the streets, you know, that they had nobody else to turn to, that, you know, you and Umi always opened y'all doors. And I remember that guy named, I won't say his name, but he used to come and sit on the porch, and Umi used to feed him.
Oh, yeah.
He used to sit on the porch, and he was like the neighborhood, you know, bum guy. And I used to say, why are you always giving him food? And Umi said, he got to eat, you know. And, you know, y'all was always feeding everybody and giving.
And that's,
you know,
paid
and,
off.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
This manifested itself in you. A legacy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's who I got it from.
Hold that thought. Y'all don't go anywhere. I'm going to try to get somebody else on here. I'm going to try 215 again. 215, are you here?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you hope to know, you're a wonderful man. There are a lot of girls out there who want to see you.
Where?
215, are you here? Okay. I'm having a problem with 215. 973, are you here? Hello? 973, are you here?
Oh, 973, that's me. Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Had I talked with you earlier? Is this Big Willie?
No, this is Abdul Muhammad.
I'm sorry. Did I hang up on you?
No, this is my first time calling.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, sir, if you have anything to add, a question or anything like that, please go right ahead. You're talking with Sister Rabia Ahmed and Brother Ahmed. I can't remember what his first name is, but they'll inform you.
Okay. I just really tuned in a minute ago, so I'm just listening for now.
Okay. Okay, great. What I'll do is I'll put you back on hold, and if you want to make a comment or anything, give me a call back.
No problem.
And when I see you blinking, then I'll put you back online. That'd be okay?
No problem.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you calling. Appreciate you listening. Sister Rabia, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm getting these calls in, and I'm really surprised because this is not normally a thing that happens for me. You know that, but whenever you come on, you make things happen, so that's really nice. I appreciate it. Brother Apple, he's on here.
You need to stop.
You know I'm telling the truth. But Brother Alpha, good to see you. I'm seeing him in the chat room. He's 347. I hadn't seen him call in though. But maybe he has, but I haven't. I missed him. But Brother Alpha, you know you're welcome to call through at any time. But Sister Rabia and Brother Ahmed, Sister Rabia, how do I say your dad's name? I tell me, because she'll have to.
I don't know. You saying the right people call him Mr. Ahmed or
okay,
Mr. Ahmed? I mean that's. You saying it right.
You know, but what I want to say is that, again, that, you know, the interesting thing is, as far as, to me, our culture goes, speaking primarily of, well, any culture, literally, who has some compassion and some concern, and the compassion is a, superior to the desire to be commercial. That's what's interesting, is that the way that, Sister Rabia had told me, she had told me this before I ever even, you know, before I had met you tonight, how that, and she had even told me this story about the Cambodian family and so forth. And those things have made a tremendous impact and impression on her. And I told her I wanted to see her be successful. Because she's not into the success aspect for herself personally. She's into trying to be to assist as many families. And I really appreciate the holistic approach, as was explained to me, that she not only assists the mothers in recovering from any maybe problems. See, I'm recovering from drugs and alcohol, just to be honest with you, since August 22nd, 1988. And one of the ways that I assisted myself was the only way you can do it is to help other people. And you have to reach out and try to assist other people. And, you know, what I like about her approach is, and I'm not, you know, she could better explain it, but where she assists the parents in improving their lives and the children in improving their lives. And I think you told me, Sister Rabia, one of the components was that the parent never raises their voice or to the child. And there then you set up a mutual respect between the parent and the child and a baseline communication technique where that each one understands and appreciates the other one rather than is involved in some type of antagonistic struggle with each other. Am I correct in that assessment?
Yes. One of the things that we're trying to do is, well, we're having several fundraisers now. We're having one tomorrow, and we're having one next month, and we're having a big talent show in January. But we're raising money to open up a treatment facility / transitional housing for mothers and children. And one of the things that I really like about the smart homes is that while the mothers are going through their recovery process, that they have to have their children with them, because the children were with them when they were in their addiction, while they were getting beat up, while they were using. And I thought that it was very important for the children to be with the mothers also while they're recovering. And one of the components that I talked with my staff about was there could never be any yelling. There could never be any yelling at the children. That would be means of somebody being, you know, removed, a staff member being removed from a program, because I believe that these children are already damaged. And I didn't come from a home of a lot of screaming and hollering. I think except for that time that my father told me to go off the porch. And I did anyway. But I know you remember that. But we didn't have a lot of screaming, hollering, and yelling, and just hollering. And you know, just by the grace of God, you know, we're all doing pretty well. I have 8 brothers and sisters, and
wow.
we're all doing okay. And a lot of it because I watched. And I took heed to how we were being raised. I didn't see it then, but I see it now, how,
right,
you know, our parents showed us a lot of love. You know, they always hugged mm-hmm. us. They always kissed us. They always, you know, I saw my father every night. I saw him every morning. You know, I saw my mother every night. I didn't see my parents argue. You know, they did what they could to give us a good upbringing. And I would just like to give other children that chance of having a nice upbringing.
That's
even
you.
Though in the beginning it might have been kind of rough, but I think that every child deserves a chance to we used to just go. My parents used to take us to hotels. This would be going to hotels.
Right.
You know,
oh,
taking
yeah.
us out, taking us to New York, taking us here. We'd pack us all in the car, and we would just travel all over. And I think that that's one of the things that I want to do, take children, take them places, you know, expose them to a lot of things. It doesn't have to be that bling-bling stuff. We used to just get in the car and ride to Lancaster and look at the cows and look at the horses, you know, stuff like that. Those little things that the children now miss because it's being replaced with a lot of electronical devices.
Right.
You know, but it's a lot more things in life besides that. And I like for a lot of children to be exposed to the things that we were exposed to that were wholesome, you know, and that
right.
were pure.
You know, I was just talking with my daughter today. She, you know, the one I always talk about, the baby
mm-hmm.
girl.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I got like five all together, and all my brothers
right.
and sisters are doing fine because
good.
I am all of
that's
them.
Fantastic.
I'm the only one. Sometimes I wish I had a few more, you know, some more. But no, I'm the only one. And but you know, one of the things that I try to do, and I'm telling you, I was not a good father by a long shot. But you know, the thing about it is that my kids saw the good things in me. Maybe they saw the potential.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to sit down, and I wanted them to my two girls that I had a chance to spend time with, I wanted them to, we would sit down, and I would give them puzzles. You know, started out with little,
mm-hmm.
you know, 5 or 8-piece puzzles because I
mm-hmm.
wanted them to gain confidence and self-esteem, and I wanted them to be able to work individually. And
mm-hmm.
Then as they began to master those little 8-piece puzzles, and I got them, you know, a little bit larger, my ex and myself. And, you know, the thing of it is that we did the same thing. We didn't have the money to go to SeaWorld, I mean, you know, initially and to go to these big,
mm-hmm.
major, really dynamic places. So what we did was try to have them be interested in just sitting at home, enjoying their home, because so many kids, like, I know some kids that are oriented toward, you know, Xbox, Wii, whatever, all these different, and they
mm-hmm.
have surpassed just the idea of sitting there having a nice conversation and enjoying their family. And you know, I understand that you know, there is some guilt maybe that a parent may have that they want to provide this, you know, but to me, one of the best things that you can provide is like you say, that hug and that kiss. And that quiet time and just being able to sit down at a table with your family and having a good meal and a conversation and whenever they have some problems with school, you know, try to, you know, assist them with the problems that they're having, at least invest in their time and show them, you know, in my opinion, that you're willing to go to bat for them. And you know, these are things, some of the things that I did that I can relate to what I'm hearing you say. And to my idea, I listen and I hear people talk about, you know, how the school systems are and everything. And initially we were all, I can remember when they discouraged parental involvement you know, they really, I would say discouraged is fairly accurate. And so people were in a position where they felt a little bit ill at ease anyway, you know, a little bit self-conscious maybe had a low self-esteem. And so they, you know, looked at the teachers as being far above them. And some parents, somehow or another, had the ability to see themselves as being vital and significant and being advocates for their youth. And they would go to battle, you know, go not to battle, but go to the school and represent their children. And, you know, just their face added a dimension to me of respect and appreciation from that teacher, at least it elicited it. And I had a chance to be a president of the NAACP for a little short stint. And what I tried to do, there were a lot of single female head of households.
Mm-hmm.
And some were teenage mothers, and if they would avail, give me the information that they had in regard to some problems that they were having at school, then I would go. It didn't matter. I go to the I go to the teacher initially, go to the principal secondarily, go to the superintendent of schools next, and if I had to get on the school board agenda, I would do that because you know, I really, to me, we don't have a person to waste. We don't have a life or a spirit. We don't have not one to waste, and each one to me, and like I say, I'm not the best cat that's ever been in the world, but I understand now at the age of 58, we don't have, we can't afford to lose one person, and I can only appreciate your dad for having inspired you and provided you with the impetus to endeavor into developing this organization that you've developed, and I can only commend you for the efforts that you've been putting forth to ensure that other families have an opportunity, no matter what, how dire they seem, their situations seem to be, to get some rejuvenation and some respect and appreciation and get another chance to reengage society from a more positive perspective. And so, but, you know, any of those techniques that you have, and the fundraiser, let me give your site one more time, then I'll shut up, www.smarttochange, SMART2CHANGE.org. Am I right?
Right, the number two.
Okay, SMART2CHANGE.org. And you know that I'll be very active in trying to support you because, you know, like when I see the need that exists, and I don't have a tremendous amount, but I have an adequate amount. And all over what's adequate, I would like to see it being put toward some of those who are tremendously less fortunate. You know, my family is doing okay. I feel comfortable. You know, not the best, but I want it, whatever I have that's over adequate to sustain us, I want others to, you know, to have an opportunity to reap some benefit out of life, you know. I don't want to be taken over and talking, but you really get me going whenever I think about the things that you do, and especially having, you know, listen to you talk about your dad in glowing terms and for every good reason I can see, and I really appreciate, sir, getting a chance to meet you on the phone. So I hope maybe, again, I get a chance to contact you, visit with you.
My pleasure.
Let me try to get a call in here right quick and see if you'd be surprised. All right, 215, are you here? Area code 215.
Sure.
Can you hear me? All right. Yes. How you doing tonight?
Okay.
Thank you for joining us.
Just want to say hi, Rabia. This is Angel.
Hey, Angel.
Hi. Congratulations. Okay.
Thank you.
In case they want to know, we're cousins. She been, you know, going a long time, going get what you gotta get, you know. But I'm glad she made it, you know. Never gave
Thank
up,
you.
You know.
Still got a long way to go.
Yeah, but you know, getting started, you know. But at least you start, you know what I'm saying? Some people will say, "Oh, I ain't gonna," you know. It's like, "Oh, well, I'm never gonna get there," so they give up before they even get started. But you kept on going.
Hey, Angel. Angel, gonna need your help too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Gonna need your help too. So you just hang on in there, okay?
Oh yeah.
All right.
You know that. Yeah.
Okay. I tell you what. Let me. I want to take another call. I'm gonna put you back on hold. That okay?
Okay. I like to listen.
Thank you so much
for joining us. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You take good care. Blessings to you and the family. Have a call, Sister Rabia, area code 215-906, the first number, or the first number there. Is that, you hear me, 215-906?
Yes.
Welcome, and to the next phase with Ice and Friends, Sister Rabia Ahmed and her dad, Brother Ahmed, and may I invite you to offer your opinion or comments or whatever.
Hello?
Yes, who is this?
This is Tracy.
Tracy, go right ahead, Tracy. How you doing tonight?
You know, I just called and I didn't really hear everything that was going on. I just got a message to call, so I really want to see what's going on before I make my comment.
Great, great. Tracy, I'll tell you what, let me put you back on hold then. And what I'll do is if you want to give us a call back through, then I'll put you back on. Just hang up and call us right back if you want to give a comment. Let me get a number out again. Is that all right with you, Tracy?
Sure.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Blessing to you and your family. Area code 347-945-7040 is the number to contact us here. 347-945-7040. And we have Sister Rabia Ahmed and her dad, Brother Ahmed. And Sister Rabia has SMART in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. Single mothers are really trying. That's the what the acronym stands for. And the website is www.smart2change.org to get more information. And area code 215-531. Are you here?
Hello?
215. Yes, hello. How are you, ma'am? Who am I speaking with, please?
My name is Deanna.
Deanna, nice to meet you. You go ahead with your comments.
I just want to tell my cousin Rabia that you're doing such a wonderful job with your business.
And
for what I learned, I'm in public health, and a lot of women need support when they're out there by themselves, you know, trying to, and you're just doing such a wonderful, wonderful job. And we need more people out there, you know, like I said, I'm part of public health. We need more people out there, more businesses, you know, working for our young mothers, you know, because they, you know, they're young and they're having kids at such a young age and they need more direction. They need someone to say, this is what you need, and I'm here to help you, you know, because a lot of them are scared and not doing what they need to do, and you're just doing such wonderful things. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. Deanna, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Because you're in the public, I think you said public health. Do you know the statistic of the women, you know, that have had their children taken away from them because they haven't had any adequate housing, or for some reason the children went to the Department of Human Services, or because the mother was beaten and doing drugs? Do you know the statistic of how many children are without their mothers? I know you're in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't know. Right now,
okay.
I'm working out of the Will's Eye Institute, and I'm doing a lot of things with senior citizens
okay.
and diabetes. However,
wow.
That is something I can look into and get the information to you, most definitely.
Please. Mm-hmm. Please.
I can do that for you.
I don't remember. I know that there was in the state of Pennsylvania, and I know I did some research about children, and this is just in four counties,
mm-hmm.
like the Philadelphia County, Montgomery County, Bucks County, and I think it's Delaware County, that there were somewhere near 1,500 children that were in placement under the ages of 8. You know, that were not with their mother. You know, when I saw those statistics,
mm-hmm.
you know, that just made me want to work harder to try to reunite, you know, some of these children with their mothers. You know, so it is large. You know, the services that we provide are desperately needed, and that's why. And when I talk to my staff, I tell them, you know, that we cannot abuse these children by cursing at them, yelling at them because they already went through that.
Right.
You know, so we're trying to take another route in treating these children. You know, mm-hmm. so that they could become productive and build their self-esteem, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
I understand completely. And this program, it's probably something you're already doing, but is this something that could be done in schools? Because, you know, young women are having these kids at young ages. This is a program. Or something needs to be done in the schools because they're like I used to work in highway safety and we're trying to talk to the women about putting in their car seats and we're trying to go because a lot of people don't put their kids in car seats, you know, they're carrying them on bus and even trying to get that's something simple, trying to get that into the programs in the schools and they've ended a lot of the select programs and so now the babies aren't being traveled with safely. They may not be finding a lot of things that this program may have. And, you know, they're lacking. Now your child isn't being taken care of and the system may take your child, you know, put it somewhere else for someone who else, you know, can take care of them better. So, it's a lot of things that we need in the city and, you know, everywhere else. I'm not saying, you know, they don't need it in the suburbs. We need it everywhere. Because we're all back in some area, and we should never turn down, you know, wonderful opportunities.
Absolutely.
You know,
I agree.
Sister Deanna, thank you very much for your service, and really appreciate your participation.
No problem. Thank you for letting me speak today.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for calling through. And
thank you.
The only reason is that I have a few more calls on. And I can put you back on hold, but if you decide to give us a call back, just please don't feel inhibited at all. Number is 347-945-7040. And I really appreciate you calling through and appreciate the information. And I hope that you will consider allowing me to visit with you sometime on the show.
Oh, sure.
All right. Well, Sister Rabia knows who you are, I think, don't you?
Absolutely.
Well, Sister Deanna, you and yours have a blessed evening and a blessed and safe holiday season. And you continue on with that good work because so many families really absolutely need that kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate your help and what you're doing out there.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you. Have a great day.
God bless you. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Caller number 610-931, are you here? Is that 610-931? Are you here? Oh.
Yes.
There
Hello?
You are. Okay. Who am I speaking with, please? Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Aisha.
I'm sorry.
And Rabia is. Hi, Rabia.
Yes.
Is Ahmed.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. Listen, I was calling you because I don't have it on the radio. I have it on the telephone. So I thought I was just listening. That's why. But when he said my phone number, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm on the air.
Absolutely.
You're on the air.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Are you in Pennsylvania also?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Glad to have you call through. If you have anything that you'd like to add, we'd be glad to hear it. Or otherwise, I'll just put you back on hold and you can listen on the air, whichever you choose.
Well, I would rather like listen because I just got in on it. So
maybe
I can click back on so I can find out exactly what you're talking about. How about
All right.
That?
Well, I really appreciate you you calling through. Okay.
Okay.
And I'll put you back on hold.
Thank
Blessings
you.
Blessings you and the family. All right, take care.
Thank you, you too. Bye.
Yes, ma'am. Caller number 215-303. Had I invited you on yet? Are you here? 215. Are
yes.
you here? Hello.
Uh-huh.
Have we talked before?
I just have a comment though.
Okay.
You know,
thank you.
It is like I was listening to what the other person was saying.
Right.
I was talking to Adair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is true. A lot of young women are having babies. and a lot of young girls are having younger and younger, but they do need a lot of help. And what Rabia has done, you know, will allow her to, you know, open up that building to get things started is a blessing to a lot of young women. And they're going to come in and out of that building. And where they got there, she's going to open up another building. I mean, that's just like one building is started. She's going to have many buildings, you know. And it's going to be a good blessing for a lot of young women. And I can say that to my uncle, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's going to be a lot of work. But like I said, she needs my help. And I'm the type of person, I do a lot of phone calls. Like, I know a lot of different things. Whatever she needs me, just call me. I'll help you. I don't have no problem doing that. None at all.
I sure do. Thank you, ma'am. And God bless you.
Okay.
Appreciate you calling. I'll put you back on hold. That okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your information, ma'am. 973-246, are you here?
Yeah, but I'm still here.
Okay, I just had, did you, I'm kind of, this thing's blinking on me and I don't know who's called through or who hasn't.
That's okay.
Do you have anything that you'd like to say at this point?
Well, I'm enjoying the conversation. I just want to, first of all, say to Sister Rabia and Brother Akbed, Assalamu Alaikum. I'm very familiar with SMART. As a matter of fact, Sister Rabia and I have been speaking about SMART for a while.
Great.
I offer my intake. I try to add whatever I can to help her program really, you know, flourish, because I think she's doing a great thing. My background is in the same field. Actually, I'm retired. I'm a retired mental health counselor. I'm calling from New Jersey. I'm in New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey.
What I was going to say, let me take an opportunity to do this with you. Sister B, I hope you don't mind. You know, drop me an email at blakiz.1@gmail.com. Let me know who you are, and let me invite you on and some of these days, okay, and talk about some of the things that you do or whatever. And anyone, if you feel like it, give us a chance to visit with you, because I pray that Sister Rabia will be back more than a few times. And, you know, because I'm invested in what she's trying to do. I mean, I really appreciate her as an example for others who are in the position to do what she does, and as an outlet for those who want to contribute to seeing that the community is assisted with the resources and provisions that she has available through her SMART, S-M-A-R-T, organization. So if you don't mind, if you simply drop me an email or something like that, I'd appreciate it. Like to have you back sometime.
That'd be great.
I really appreciate it. Do you have anything else? If not,
I just wanted to say that her program is a very unique program.
Okay.
I go back years in this field, and I happen to know that females are one of the hardest groups to recover from this addiction, only because they have children. And unfortunately, in New York and New Jersey, there's not a lot of referrals for females with children, which means that the females who have a problem with addiction won't come into treatment because of that particular reason. Because where would they keep their children? What happens to the kids? Do they want to put their kids in the system? And a lot of them, they don't want to do that, you know. So I
right.
can understand that. So she's doing a really good thing, and I'm hoping that in the future, it's gonna flourish to the point where it'll be across the country. Because I got to tell you, there's a lot of places in New York, it's true, but there's
right.
not a lot, like I said, that caters to women with children and with things that they have as SMART. And I read the program with SMART, and it's very thorough. They have everything covered. I think it's a great, great success in the future. So I'm
wow.
going to be hanging in there with her. And hope to meet her dad, Brother Ahmed, one day, and sit down, you know, and again, offer my expertise. Like I said, I've been in this field for quite a few years, so I know a little bit that I can have the offer to help her in our program. So Allah bless them both because they're doing a great thing. And one thing I wanted to say is that, you know, we're put here on this earth for a purpose, and our purpose is to help another human being. I believe that.
Right.
You know, and I don't believe that we're going to leave here until we serve that particular purpose. You know,
exactly.
And then the last thing I wanted to say is that I remember back in the days, I remember this movie I watched one time because someone mentioned earlier, I think Sister Rabia mentioned earlier about the video game, things of that nature. And I remember this movie back in the day, and this one line is said in this movie, we were happier when we had less. Listen to that. I said, you know, that's heavy. That's heavy.
Wow.
Because we had less back in those days. We were closer. You know, we in the neighborhood, everybody knew each other. Everybody was look out for each other. You look out for my kids, I look out for your kids. We didn't have this problem we're having right now.
Mm.
You know, we had role models. Right now, our kids lack role models. Our kids lack positive role models, unfortunately. You know, hopefully with the sisters like Rabia and Brother Ahmed, that somehow this will all change. But it takes more than one or two people. It takes quite a bit to make this change take place. I always feel and I always learn that I am my brother's keeper.
Right.
I look up to my brother no matter what.
Absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
Islam taught me that. I knew it before I even came to Islam, but I knew that I am my brother's keeper and that I'm supposed to look out for my brother and my sister, you know,
absolutely.
No matter what. You know, if they need help, I need to be there to reach out, reach my hand out to them. If they fall down, I should be there to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my blessings that I receive from Allah because those are things that I'm doing. And those are things that make me feel good because
mm-hmm.
I'm helping another human being. And that's what's important these days.
And,
so,
you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that there is that example that you set that, you know, other people, other young guys and young ladies, they see that you are invested in improving the conditions for people that you may or may not know that, you know, and on a personal level. And some are inspired by that. Some
yes.
may be not as informed, but look for that information. And once they are informed and activated, then they begin to assist in adding their you know, volunteering or providing whatever services that they have available. So I can only say extend my appreciation to you for the efforts that you put forth also and offering your assistance to Sister Rabia in the efforts that she's pursuing as far as repairing the damage that our communities have felt over the years. And, you know, I'm really mild tonight because Sister Rabia is here, but I'm more political than this, so... And if you tune in and you hear me ranting, don't be surprised.
I hear you.
I'm sorry.
Like me
I'll let Sister Rabia comment or respond to you. I'm sorry. I just had to get in there.
I you know, thank you so much for the support. One of the things I want to talk about, just real briefly about SMART. Single mothers are really trying is that we're having some fundraisers. You can see everything on the website smart2change.org, www.smartthechange.org. There's a lot of information on there, and we're constantly updating the information in regards to SMART. But I wanted to touch real quick on the therapeutic community part of SMART, where we feel that the therapeutic community is designed as a drug-free environment in which people that are recovering from addictive disorders live together with their children and hold everybody accountable and help everybody change their way of thinking. I believe that once we give these mothers and these children tools to change their way of thinking, that their behavior changes. You know, so we're putting a lot of emphasis on treating the brain, not in not in a clinical way, but in a holistic way. You know, just by coming together, being together, talking things out, holding each other accountable. Somebody was talking about earlier how, you know, Brother Muhammad was saying, you know, those small things in life is like eating together, being together, doing those simple things. You know, I remember coming up, my parents used to buy board games, you know, so we played board games and we played Monopoly and Sorry and Trouble, and that was the highlight. You know,
right.
So we have gotten away from the unification of the families, everybody so separate. So in SMART, we're trying to put that back together. And I don't think it's going to be really difficult. I trust in God. It doesn't appear to be difficult as long as we stay focused and keep everybody together.
You know, brother, was that Brother Ahmed out there? There was, I think, two Brother Ahmeds?
No.
I'm sorry. What was your name, sir?
Abdullah.
You know, the thought of it to me again, it spurs me to think about that a hug is really insignificant in compared to the price of some of the more expensive electronic games, and sometimes that hug it manifests itself in ways that electronic game, a lot of those are individual things. Cause kids to. I've watched my grandchildren, and they are even me and myself on the computer. I divorce myself from my environment pretty much because I'm focused on what I'm doing on the computer. Whereas in the old days before I had the computer, and back whenever my girls were younger, whenever they were younger, then I would sit on the couch, put one under each arm, and we watch a little television. I've evolved from that, you know, due to the fact that you can afford some of these other amenities. But often those amenities are actually, not beneficial. They to some degree, in some instances, are detrimental to having that cohesiveness of that family structure, where that,
mm-hmm.
you know, where that even so much as you know, I can remember that a child would go to bed, and my ex would go in there and sit on the bed with them. They went through their prayer thing. You know, that was fun. I mean, you know, regardless, people, oh, I don't believe in that. Whatever a person believes in. Believe in it. What I'm saying is what we did. What we did was those little ones knew they would, you know, for instance, they'd come in from school, they'd eat their snack, watch a little TV, decompress. Then they would sit at the table and do their homework. And when it was time for supper to be done, then they cleared the table, set the table for supper. And that was one thing that I can say their mom was instrumental in them being involved with. And then after that was over, the dishes were cleared, investigation made as to did you get all your homework done, do you need any assistance or whatever. Then it was bath time, then it was bedtime, and then she would go in there with them. And just, you know, that idea, they would sit there, they would say their prayers, and she'd give them the hugs and kisses. I may go through and give them a hug and a kiss. But the point of it is that each one of us was important to each other. None of us were so insignificant that, you know, we at that point we could afford not to have each other. You know, I was raised by my grandmother and great grandmother, and I wanted those ones that I was around as they were growing up, to have that sense of, you know, the duality of the parents, hopefully. And like I say, I haven't been a good guy all my life, but I wanted them to have that duality, the very distinctive parental roles, or however, and the nurturing aspects and the protective, the feeling of being protected. And in that, you know, speaking on that is what I think that the community aspect of the SMART provides is the community, you know, where it compensates for the absence sometimes of a, not maybe adequately as it would you would like for it to, but it compensates for the absence of that family structure, and they reform, people reformulate a family structure and become interdependent upon each other, rather and so the influence is internal rather than external, because when you, to me, have all these external influences, they really can, you know, have a destructive impact on some families. But that's just my opinion. So, anyway, Brother Abdullah,
yes.
Are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
Okay, bro. I tell you what. Let me. There are some other calls, and I'm not sure. I hope that I'm right, but please contact us. Or if you want to stay on, that's fine. I'll just try to bring somebody else on with us.
No, I'll be leaving for the night, but I just want to say thank you very much for having me. It's been very informative, and I want to say again to the brother Ahmed and Sister Revere, you know, keep doing what you're doing, you know, and things will get better. You know.
Thank you.
You're so
thank you so much, Brother Abdullah.
Okay.
Brother Ahmed, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
You want to say anything?
Actually, you know, just you've been saying so many things that made me reflect, you know, back. And, you know, I remember saying, it says, where our bread is concerned, it's a material matter.
Mm-hmm.
Where our neighbor's bread is concerned, it's a spiritual matter. That's really what it is about, too. It's about helping other folks. Don't worry about yourself. You're going to get it in the long run.
Right.
You help others, you're going to get it. It's about kindness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got to be, you know, kind to one another and be giving, to share. Once we learn that, we've learned a whole lot.
Totally agree with you, sir. Totally agree with you. Brother Abdullah, God bless you. Have a beautiful night and a wonderful holiday and a great forever. Appreciate
you
calling
through
and holler back, okay?
Good night,
sir.
Good night.
We had, let's see, I'm not sure if this person is called through. No? Okay, so I'm down to, okay, maybe these are the three individuals who were listening. If you want to give us a call, we are 7 minutes past 8 p.m., 807-347-945-7040. And this is the next phase with Ice and Friends. And tonight, very special guest, Sister Rabia Ahmed and her dad, Brother Ahmed. And really appreciate them being here. And Sister Rabia is the, I don't know how to call you. I don't want to, it's not the owner. I would say coordinator, an organizer of SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying. And the web address is www.smart2change.org, right?
Right.
SmartToChange.org?
Right.
Yes. And I'm going to give this brief, what my estimation is, which is not near accurate, and you can please expound on it if you don't mind. But and I want to say again thanks to Sister Rabia Ahmed and Brother Ahmed. And Sister Rabia is the organizer of SMART, a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, designed to assist especially women and their families. Who have had difficulties in their lives. The program actually aids the women and their families in regaining their social and financial footing. And Sister Rabia also provides, to the best of her ability, housing and other assistances. And she does considerably more than just talk about what she does and what she wants to do. And I want to thank her for sharing with us this evening. And again, the The web address is www.smart2change.org. And Sister Rabia, I'll let you go ahead, please, if you don't mind, and expound on you were talking about fundraisers, and I hope I haven't totally broken your train of thought. But I'll let you go ahead and you know me.
No, we're having a several fundraisers are going on now. We're having these raffles that are happening now. But we're having a large one in January the 16th in Chester. One of the things that I want to talk about SMART just for a minute, and the services and the services that we provide. We provide drug and alcohol counseling through that process that I was talking about. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. It's called the TC program.
I haven't heard of it.
I was just talking about it. It's the therapeutic community.
Oh, okay.
Where everybody lives together. What TC is, it's a process of rehabilitation, and the residents are helped to reestablish a healthy, functional lifestyle and life and family values that they will regain through their physical and their emotional health while they're in this program. You know, so there's a lot of meeting. There's a lot of sharing. There's a lot of talking, a lot of interaction, but with the children as mm-hmm. well as the parents. One of the things that is on all of my I hope it's on the website, but I always say to the women that no matter where your past has been, your future is spotless. Because I don't want them to think that, you know, just because they might have had a dark past, that they can't see, you know, where their future is. So for right now, your future is spotless, you know. So, and I tell them that all the time. Right now, we're doing these fundraisers that hopefully by the springtime we'll be able to I'm looking at a building now that will hold 14 to 15 families. So hopefully through the fundraisers, through different funding, you know, through donations, you know, that we will be able to obtain, you know, this building and move it on to different cities. You know, somebody sent me a text and I can't get it, but it was talking about, I think it's 86% of African-American children are born to unwed mothers. And and that's, you know, we have lost somehow, you know, the marriage, you know, the getting married and all of that is like going out the door, the families being wholesome. You know, sitting down, we were talking earlier about sitting down, doing things together, you know, when I think it was that group. I'm skipping, but I think it was that group called The Intruders said it best, that we have to save these children. You know, we really do have to save these children. There are so many children that are damaged, you know, and we kind of left them, you know. So I'm hoping that through this process of building SMART, you know, that we could grasp some of these children. You know, teach them, you know, help them, you know, help them to learn. I work in a prison. I want to say this here real quick. I work in a prison, and I've been at this prison for 4 years, so I see every day about 1,500 men. I sit in groups with these men, and one of the things that they talk about all the time is when they were children, you know, and how they didn't have their mother. Their mother was strung out on drugs, or their mother left them. I hear those type of stories all the time, you know, and I said, wow, so this is a result of the children not having these type of services, you know, that the mothers left them. A lot of these men, I say about a good maybe 80%, without exaggeration, at least 80% of the men that I have sat with and spoke with, they all said the same thing, that their mother wasn't there, their mother was on drugs, their mother left them, they didn't have a father figure, they don't know who their father is, things like that. They say, well, if I had just somebody just to care about me. One boy I told, one man I told him, he came to group one day, and I said to him, I said, why don't you brush your hair? I said, your hair is a mess. And he pulled me to the side, and he said, and he was about maybe 25 or so, and he said, you know, nobody ever told me to brush my hair. He said, nobody ever told me to wash my face. You know, so this is a result, you know, of not having your parents there. And, you know, this is what we're going to try to, of course, it can't be stopped. We can't save everybody, but I believe in one less victim.
Right. Exactly. As you're saying that, I'm thinking, to me, I adopted this from earlier. My exposure, like I say, is recovering, going through a recovery process, which
mm-hmm.
By God's grace, whom I choose to call my higher power, and because the 12-step program worked for me. But there is a thing, a process, PIC, prevention, intervention, and cure. And the prevention aspect is when you deal with the environment, with an individual in an environment prior to them getting deviated, and they get a sufficient amount of well-established self-esteem to the extent that they will accept nothing less than the best that they can achieve for themselves, and that being being absolutely not involved with being in any way incarcerated or anything like that. But, you know, I was in a chat room earlier, and I heard these guys, and these guys really, you know, when you hear these guys, and I'll get into this on some other shows, but they revel in the idea of failure of different cultures. These guys are so sadistic and so diabolical, and it's a shame that the children have to fall, and a lot of families and a lot of fathers fall prey to this type of mindset, and so regardless to, and what I, my objective is with the, what I do with this thing here with this show is to have individuals involved who would listen, or to at least be supportive or have an interest in maybe being informed or providing information, so that we can all come together in an environment, an intellectual environment that transcends a lot of different barriers, social barriers, where that, you know, and people, where that the individuals are of ultimate concern. Not concepts, precepts, traditions, and customs, and all this different kind of stuff. Because so many people adhere so strongly to the traditional aspect of being dominant or being subordinate, and they disallow the rightful evolution of progress in the society. And so then, you know, this is where that, as a remedial possibility, you have programs that offer surrogate provisions for nurturing and providing impetus and encouragement for people who have tremendous and vast knowledge that is just sitting there inside of them, and once that someone accesses that in a proper way, then that person begins to open up and provide a tremendous benefit and assistance to society itself. But at the same time, the thought of that person having that ability causes a lot of other people to shudder in fear. And anything that people fear, sometimes they attempt to destroy. So I can commend you again and say to you that if it's anything that I can do to help you out, Sister Rabia, you know that I'll do the best that I can, but I really tremendously appreciate you. And I really, listening to you and where you are, you know, you're standing on the shoulders of your mom and dad as I hope that my offspring someday have the opportunity and possibility to stand on my doggone shoulders and go farther and do more than I have attempted to do. You know, I have, you know, like I say, I have five and they are much better people than I myself am. And we on occasion converse. So I commend you. I commend your dad. And I just say, you know, be encouraged, and we will do all that we can do, regardless. So you know that. So, but I really appreciate you being here. You know.
Thank you. I'm happy that you invited me.
Standing invitation.
I think this is Deanna. I'm thinking that this is Deanna.
Which number is sent.
It's the 215. She's sending me texts.
No problem. I wish you'd give a call. Let me get a number out. 347-945-7040. Okay.
Yeah, she already called them, but she's sending me these statistics over the phone.
She just sent me
one statistic that said that there are 116,000 over 116,000 single mothers in Philadelphia.
116,000.
Yeah, over 116,000 single moms in Philadelphia. You know, so that says a lot.
Well, absolutely, it says a lot.
It also
provides a tremendous amount of opportunity to change, and that's, you know, I'm in Texas, as you know, and I'm not sure how many, but there are people who actually it provides an opportunity for us to continue on with whatever efforts we have, and if I get a chance, we'll be carrying this conversation on offline, and if you don't mind, we'll trying to make a few, you know, plans to do some other things, whatever it may take. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What? Did I interrupt you? Hello? I think I lost her. Brother Ahmed, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I think she'll be back, I'm sure, here in just a second. But again, thank you, sir, for being here, and you have a standing invitation as well.
Thank you very much.
And someday, if you get a chance, she says she got disconnected, and I'm telling her to give me a call back.
But,
you know, feel free to contact me, or, I'd like to invite you to come on sometime if you choose to. And have a conversation with you about what you do and any information that you can provide, and I'm sure, you know, to encourage the community. You know what I'm saying?
I'd be happy to do that. It'd be my pleasure. What were you going to
do? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Your name is?
Well, I go by Black Ice. Okay.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry?
Your name is?
Well, just Bill.
Oh, Bill.
B-I-L-L.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Gotcha.
And you and I, we'll probably be having some conversations offline here. She's dialing through right now.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for her to come through. But, yeah, Bill is my name, sir.
Okay.
And I just go by Black Ice. The programs, the chat programs that I frequent, I just maintain a reasonable degree of anonymity.
I see. I got you. I got you. I'm with you.
So
you know,
I
didn't just come on the planet, you know.
I know. But she could give you my name. She knows.
Yeah, I got you.
We talk on occasion, and like I say, she's a beautiful spirit, and I really appreciate that you've been such a positive influence in so many people's lives.
And
I'm inspired by you. I really am.
I'm proud to be.
So how do you like Kentucky?
I love Kentucky. I'm down 2 miles down in the valley in the country.
Is that right?
Down with the deer and the pheasants and the wild turkeys and the ducks and the chickens.
I'm in West Texas. I don't know if you've ever been to Texas.
No, I've never been to Texas.
I'm in the country.
Always had a desire, but never went past there, but never went to Texas.
So you getting a chance to go home for Thanksgiving? Is that it?
Yeah. Oh,
that's great.
About 4 days hanging out.
Right. Do you miss Philly at all?
Oh, I do very much, because most of my family's there. I got family, you know, in Delaware and California, too, in Northern California and Southern California. But still, the bulk of millions are in Philly, in the suburban areas of Philly.
Right.
So
you
Philly
know, I almost feel, I feel like I, there she is right here. Let me put her back on right quick.
Okay.
You hear the lady?
I'm back.
Yeah, you're back. Welcome
you
back.
You know what? I was. You know, when I first started out with SMART, it stood for single men are really trying,
right?
And single mothers are really trying. So I could,
right,
you know, try to address them both.
Right.
I wanted to say also that the SMART program is in Spanish and it's in English.
Spanish.
So I wanted to. Yeah,
wow.
So that we can address the problems in the Hispanic community, because I have some two Hispanic women that are working really closely with SMART. And I'm trying to learn Spanish, and because the Spanish population, the women I have learned that they did not want to really put their business out about. You know,
right,
we're being abused. You know, it's a cultural thing. But there are more Hispanic women coming out. Am I breaking?
You better
you
now.
You know, there are. Oh, okay. There are more Hispanic women. You know, coming forward with, you know, trying to get help. But also, I wanted to talk about so many things that SMART is doing. That I want to talk about really briefly about a program that I wrote for abused men.
Right,
that's
okay.
That is not talked about a lot, you know, but it's like they're abused women. There are men who were abused, you know, sexually, spiritually, you know, physically, mentally damaged. You know,
right,
by women. So it's not fair to have these services for women and not to also address the needs of the men that fall into the same category.
Hey, Sister Rabia.
Yes.
Tell you what, I got about 90 seconds. Well, 60 seconds now. So let me do this. Would you please come back after Thanksgiving, around about probably the first week in December or whenever? You give me a date, and we'll get it. You will? And, brother, call through again, please?
I sure will.
And let me tell you guys, I'm going to go ahead and close it out for now.
Okay.
And but I so much appreciate you. I'm very, very honored and very so much appreciative for you being here. And I'm going to look forward to getting a chance to visit with you. And I'll holler at Sister Rabia, and we'll holler. It's very informal. But I'll speak with Sister Rabia, and she'll provide you with any information about me.
Okay.
Anyway, I got 10 seconds. So let me say God bless.
Well, thank you
so much.
Well, thank
I
you
really
much.
Appreciate
My pleasure.
You all.
Thank you for everybody calling. Thank you for your support. I really appreciate that. I love you, Ed Boo.
I love
and
you, too.
Later.
Okay, so
All right. Hey, blessings to you guys, and we'll be talking with you. Sister Rabia, probably holler at you after I get off here. All right,
okay.
Whenever. Give holler at me when you get a chance.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Blessings,
okay.
Brother Ahmed.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. And thank you for joining us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. And as you know, you can give us a call at 347-945-7040, or you can drop us an email at blakicz1@gmail.com. We'd be glad to hear from you. And I'd also like to say again, www.smarttochange.com. That's smarttochange.org. That's Sister Rabia's organization. May God bless you and be with you throughout the holiday season as well. And keep you safe. Hope you have a joyous, safe, and a blessed holiday season and a wonderful forever. Thank you for
thank
joining
you
us right here on the next phase
thank
with Ice
you.
And Friends. Hey, thank you,
thanks.
Sister Rabia. I didn't know you were still here. I have my eyes closed. Hey, you take care. We'll talk to y'all later, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
God bless y'all.
Me too.
Thank you.